Hello, and welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading a single story. As always, the author's original writing has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is By the Light of Day, by Convenient Parking. Dr. Isaac Lowlight. Ha ha ha. As if you could even call him a doctor. But I had respect for the man, so I'll use it. Don't feel pressure to, though. It's not like he can reprimand you for it now. Some of you may be wondering, who is this man? Dr. Isaac Lowlight was a graduate from UC Berkeley. That's in California, if you didn't know. A brilliant man. And while some beg to differ, he was a modern-day polymath, or Renaissance man, for the layman. As a man unparalleled in the field of biochemistry, a virtuoso pianist, published poet and science fiction author, as well as a neurosurgeon, plastic surgeon, and a strong debater, those who speak against his abilities are merely jealous. Jealous of his talent. Ugh. Forgive me. I tend to speak in a biased fashion. Regardless, one cannot discount the intelligence of a man based on his very few shortcomings. But I ramble. Let me continue this in a more productive fashion. Dr. Lowlight was a genius. He conducted hundreds, if not more, unique experiments within the confines of his home. Home. Ha ha ha. That place was nothing more than a gigantic laboratory until I got there. If I could speak of the things I saw there, the horrible and the great, I would. Ha ha. I really would love to describe in such detail the goings-on of Dr. Lowlight, but I feel that words could never explain these things. Things that need to be seen to be believed. Much like how you could never grasp the majesty of the Statue of Liberty or the overwhelming presence of the Colosseum in Rome until you stand before them in awe. Dr. Lowlight's facilities operate in a similar fashion. But he was crazy. The stories, the rumors, they were all true. Heh, his wife was his first experiment in that house, believe it or not. Well, actually, that's a mistake, as she was just the vessel. Her son was the first experiment. What a marvelous one he turned out to be, too. Strong and healthy, with a brain as enormous as his father's, ah, but he lacked the fundamental flaw which separated his father and himself. Apathy. The boy was empathetic. He could feel the pain and suffering of others, as well as their joy and angry. It took time, but he was broken of the habit. Over time, Dr. Lowlight became increasingly more paranoid. His experiments became more estranged, more eccentric, outlandish, and just strange. Bizarre, if you will. It was as if he was slowly realizing the end of his days neared, and that he had to get everything he could possibly do done before then. It was like a date on his calendar. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was a date on his calendar. And no, he didn't do it himself. He had a massive following. Kids from colleges all over the world who'd do whatever they could to help him. Ha ha ha. What idiots. If they only knew what they had gotten themselves into. Man. Oh. What? Oh. Ha ha ha. You want to know why I know all this and why I'm sharing it? I'm his son. And I think it's time for Armageddon. That was By the Light of Day by Convenient Parking. And now the part of our show where we bring in a special guest to talk about the stories that we've just heard. This week, however, we have two special guests. We have Carmen and Barry, spelled with an E, the Northern Bells. Carmen and Barry, welcome to the show.
Well, hi there.
Carmen and Barry, I would just like for our listening audience to be able to recognize which of you is which. Carmen, if you could say hello.
Well, honey, it's just me. Hello.
And Barry, spelled with an E.
Howdy.
All right. So there you go, listeners. If you're ever confused, feel free to just go back in the audio and just listen to that, and then you'll be able to recognize which is which.
Just know that I'm the prettier one.
They actually can't see you.
I just wanted them to know that. That's why I told them, sweetheart.
Oh, okay. Well, duly noted.
I'm the smart one, so.
I'm not going to contest her on that.
We all got our sticks.
Well, they're okay.
Switches.
You two, please. We have some work to do. Carmen and Barry, I was told earlier before the show started by our producer that you all currently reside in Minnesota?
Oh, yep.
That's absolutely right.
And up there in Duluth.
Oh, in
up
Duluth.
Up there in Duluth.
Is it Duluth or Duluth?
Well, honey, I mean, I have a little bit of a northern drawl. And so I just said Duluth. I think people from up in the, you know, the New York, they say Duluth.
That's really interesting. You know, I lived in New York for a little while, so should I pronounce it Duluth or Duluth?
Do you like hard U's?
Well, I'm partial to my U's either soft or hard. I'm really not very particular. Well, now that we've got that sorted out, I think we should just go ahead and play our games.
Games?
Yes, games. We play games each episode.
You didn't say nothing about no games when we signed up for this.
Said nothing. I thought this was a casserole workshop.
Casserole workshop.
No, you couldn't have thought this was a casserole workshop.
They're hot dishes that we have up in Duluth.
Yeah, but we're inside of a studio. You have a microphone in front of you.
You can make a casserole anywhere with the right kind of willpower.
You do not know these women from Duluth.
No, you're right. I don't. I've never been to Minnesota.
Wow.
I'm not going to really welcome you over now.
That's insulting.
Well, I mean, I hope you'll still consider having me over during the state fair. Do you all do state fairs?
Do we do state fairs?
Honey.
I mean...
Honey.
Bears eat lots of honey.
Name a food.
Honey.
We can deep fry that for you.
Deep fried honey?
Well, serve it with a side of cheese curds.
With honey?
Well, yeah, that'd be delicious now, wouldn't it? Yeah. Honey
all
cheese
right.
curds?
Cheese curds.
Sweetheart, is this going to be like Monopoly? I don't have that much time.
Yeah, no, it's not like Monopoly, and it's not going to take very much time if we stay on topic. What we're going to do is we're going to play a game. You all listened to the story I just read, By the Light of Day by Convenient Parking, correct?
Yeah, we don't have a choice, but you threw it on us.
Does that mean you didn't like it?
It was something special, that's for
well,
sure.
Well, it's important that we always have something positive to say about the story that we heard. So just something, anything that you liked.
I'm positive that was not an episode of Reba that I would have watched.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Honey, where are you from?
Alabama.
You're from Alabama?
We're both from Alabama. We moved up north when we were three.
No, that's why you're called the Northern Belles, yes. Because you're not Southern anymore.
Well, here and there.
You're Southern here and you're Southern there?
Well, if you know where to look, honey.
That's a really confusing statement to me. I'm not sure how that applies to what I just said.
I bet he is still single.
I bet he is.
Barry, oh my goodness. Maybe we can set him up with Trish. Trish.
Carmen, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, but I am sitting immediately next to you. I can hear what you're saying.
Sweetheart, I'm not keeping any secrets.
Well,
that's for certain. You know,
Barry. Someone to take you to the barber.
Carmen, I don't think it's your place to talk about my hair. The listening audience cannot see what my hair looks like.
Well, just look at the thumbnail.
Yes, I suppose you're right. They can look at the thumbnail. A listening audience, if you would like to look at the thumbnail to see what my hair looks like, to decide if I need a lady to take me to the barber, then by all means do that. Please keep your opinions to yourself. Carmen has overstepped her bounds as a guest. Okay, yeah. Carmen and Barry, we are going to play the game now. What we're going to do is we're going to take 5 minutes. I'm going to write an addition to the story that takes place before the events that occurred in By the Light of Day. Barry, how about you write a response that takes place at the same time?
All right.
And Carmen, how about you write something that takes place in the future, after the story happens, a sequel, if you will.
Guess I don't have a choice. Pick for last in gym class again, huh?
Yeah.
Carmen, you can pick a different one if you would like. A different one?
No, last is fine. Nope, I'll make do.
She's stubborn like that.
I can tell. All right, so we're going to take 5 minutes, and we're going to write these stories. Is that acceptable to you ladies?
That's perfectly fine.
Is that how you do things in Duluth or whatever?
Well, none of this is how we do things in there, but we're on your terms.
People
today.
Don't even look at you, but I have to look at you, so I'll just do it.
Okay, we're going to take our 5 minutes now.
The forest floor is an auburn carpet of wet crimson, orange-filtered sunlight, and animal blood. Plants hang fern fairy curtains. The light is slowly born, lives under the lambent eyelids of insects, and then perishes like fruit on the ground, fading into thin trees. The flutter of insects, their tiny lives hovering like lanterns.
And we are back. I'm still here with Carmen and Barry, and we've all finished writing our additions to By the Light of Day by Convenient Parking. I am extremely enthusiastic to hear what our guests have written. In order to decide who is going to read first, however, we were going to flip a coin, but again, magnets, high-powered, are in here, as you probably can feel. It's certainly noticeable in what Carmen is wearing on top of her head. We then thought about rolling a die. We thought about rolling a die. However, gambling is not allowed in the studio. We thought about using a twister board. However, the twister mania is still going on in the city. We also thought about having monkeys jumping on top of a bed, each labeled 1 through 3, and seeing which one fell off or bumped his head, whichever were to happen first, last, and that person would go first. We don't have the money to buy monkeys. We don't have a budget. So we've just decided that I will start, followed by Barry, and lastly, Carmen.
Honey, were those supposed to be jokes?
No, that is the truth.
Oh, you're just putting Barry to sleep over here. Shoot.
Barry, would you wake up, please?
I'm so sorry. Where are my manners?
Oh, my God. Can't take you anywhere anymore.
All right, I'm going to start, as I said.
Please do.
Would you all start. Would you all mind putting your papers down for a second so I can read without the interruption of your... Yes, without the interruption of your... Stop it.
Just bury... The quicker we get this over with, the quicker we get to go smoke.
Okay. I can leave with that.
All right. This is a prequel of sorts to By the Light of Day by Convenient Parking. Dr. Isaac Lowlight. Well, he wasn't a doctor. That's a PhD, if you don't know anything, then. He was just a scientist, a magician, part-time car salesman, and proctologist. Ha ha. Sorry. I will be more successful in sharing actual details now. Isaac was just graduating from high school, and he had just received his financial aid package at the University of California B. That's Berkeley, if you're confused. But he was questioning whether he could go or not. You see, Isaac lived on a remote island off the coast and had no way to get to California. He was also in love. But he knew he had to go to school. So he made it happen. What? Who am I, you ask? Oh, I am the woman he loves, his wife. And he just made me his vessel. Barry and Carmen, you're welcome to speak now.
That was powerful.
Really, Barry? Did you actually think it was powerful?
I did think it was very powerful.
You sound very sincere.
I tend to get that way sometimes.
She feels more than I do.
I'm the smart one, remember?
Yes, I remember.
No, do you remember?
What?
Do you remember?
Is that an exercise, or?
It's a little different than remembering.
How is it different? How do I do it differently?
You just member.
It's for the first time.
Well, in that case, yes, I suppose I member as well. I member and I remember. So I'm glad you like it, Barry. Carmen, I am on the edge of my seat to hear what you have to say.
I mean, it's good, I guess.
Good, you guess?
I don't know. I was thinking about the hot dish.
The hot dish.
Yeah.
What hot dish? We already said that this wasn't a carousel, a casserole.
Honey, that's a ride at the fair.
We don't have carousels at the state fair anymore after 42.
Yes, we also don't have carousels in this studio, nor do we have casseroles.
We noticed.
A little hungry.
Okay. So you think it was good, I guess. Barry, you think it was sincerely... strong, touching,
powerful.
Okay,
powerful.
I member.
I know you do.
Thank you, Barry. All right, Barry. Well, how about you read your addition to the story?
I would certainly love to. Wish me luck.
Good luck, Barry.
Wish me Luke.
Good Luke, Barry.
Thank you. The kids gathered in the study hall. Some called them crazy. Some called them fanatical, but they called themselves devoted. They followed his every move, worshipped him, held dear his studies. Lowlight was their god. Each year they would travel to see him as far as necessary and simply watch. They'd wait hours just to see him leave the grocery, hoping he'd have one of his experiments in tow. After a while, they'd get desperate and start trying to replicate his process on their own. The first time was terribly unsuccessful, resulting in the death of a teacher. Almost getting thrown off campus, they changed their method. Entrance to the club was participation in a Lowlight-esque experiment, live or die. End. That's all I got.
Wow, Barry, that was that was a lot better. Well, not better. I don't mean to suggest. You just had a certain way with words that I was not expecting.
I tried to tell you I was a smart.
You're the smart one. Yes.
Thought
yes.
You remembered that.
Yes, I remember.
Barry, honey, I felt chills.
Chills?
Straight up chills.
Yes, well, Carmen, I'm fairly certain that's because you wouldn't stop farting, but I've hopefully, by the end of this, edited all of those out, so...
That is no way to talk to a lady.
We are bales.
Bales.
From Duluth.
Yeah, I heard bells coming out of your butt. I'm sorry, I'm a little tense.
He's got the humor of a 10-year-old child.
I'm about to up and leave.
That was not a joke. I apologize. I've lost my temper. It smells really bad in here. I'm a little hungry as well after all the talk of casseroles. Go ahead, Carmen. You were saying.
No, I'm done. Well, none more to say here.
Well, you're going to have to say more as you have to read your sequel.
It's your turn to read.
Oh, well.
It's your turn to read.
Whenever it conveniences you.
Well, mine takes place after, because that's the only thing that was left, and so I didn't have a choice. But here's what I did writ on this paper, so. Armageddon was a hair salon. Professor Lowlight and his son Isaac Jr. went to get their hair did. "What are you doing with your coiffed follicles?" asked Isaac in his bougie tone. "Well, I'm thinking highlights for this Lowlight," Professor chuckled. "Oh, Dad, you're happier than a clam. Those come from the ocean, in case you didn't know." Yes, Isaac Jr., I know," the professor exasperatedly said. "I think it's time for an experiment with my hair," said Isaac Jr. "An implant." "What?" said the professor. "I think I'm going to insert a bumpet in my hair. Get volume like the orchestra's Beethoven, that composer from Europe, don't you know?"
Is that really the end of that story?
Well, yeah. Honey, you just said right and ended, and I thought I'd turn it into something suitable that I'd want to read to my grandma.
Carmen, I gave you...
5 minutes.
Yeah, listening audience, I gave Carmen extra time. Carmen was struggling, to say the least, and I gave Carmen an extra 30 minutes, and that's what you produced?
We all know Barry's the smart one.
Member?
Oh, my... Yes.
I must say, there was a lot less Bruce Willis than I expected in that ending.
I do like Bruce.
Bruce.
Mr. Willis, I apologize for everything that has occurred in... Everyone, I apologize for everything that you've just heard.
You don't need to apologize. They're going to be flattered.
Oh, my God. This is going to be your top seller.
This is our claim to fame here.
We give this away for free. We don't sell this.
Honey, you don't even know how to run a business.
My God, you need some help.
This isn't a business. This is a podcast.
A who?
A pod.
Like a bean?
Yes. No.
Did you put out them candy beans last week?
Oh, you know what? I did.
Okay, good.
I did.
Okay, we're going to need them come fall.
We're going to need them. They should be up soon. Ish.
Well, I guess... Barry, what did you think about Carmen's sequel?
I already said. Less Bruce Willis than I would have anticipated.
That's your only response? That's your only comment?
Well, I was shocked through the whole of it that there wasn't any Willis, and so I just had to sit there and think about that.
There wasn't any Bruce Willis in any of us, in anything that we wrote. There wasn't Bruce Willis in the original story, By the Light of Day, by Convenient Parking. Why would you think there would be Bruce Willis in this?
Armageddon?
Oh, honey, yeah, that was a great movie.
I'm telling you, one of my top three.
Do you want to know the other two?
Sure.
Well, Barry, tell him.
Come on, Barry. We're all waiting.
I'm a little embarrassed.
You're embarrassed by your other two favorite movies after number three was Armageddon.
I didn't say it was number three. I said it was in the top three.
So it could be number two or number one.
Armageddon is number one.
And you're embarrassed about number two and three after Armageddon, starring Bruce Willis, was number one.
Herbie.
Fully Loaded or not?
Please don't fully load my Herbie. And Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, honey, I love that movie.
Don't you, though?
Oh.
How can you not?
You realize it's pronounced Seattle.
What?
This is...
Seattle.
Seattle.
You're not going to convince me you don't know it's pronounced Seattle.
It's got the word seat in it, honey. Seattle.
And it's up there by the ocean, the sea.
It's like settle with an extra A in it. Seattle.
They settled by the sea. It is Seattle.
It's Seattle. They say the name of the city in the movie that you claim to love so much. And they certainly don't pronounce it Seattle.
They got that Western accent.
You know.
No,
people
they have.
Don't really talk like that in real life.
No, that's just movie talk. That's just Hollywood you trying
think
to make
in
us.
You think in a movie that is attempting to have some semblance of reality that they're intentionally mispronouncing the name of the city. I'm asking a question.
Yes.
I mean, people say Duluth all the time, but we all know it's Duluth.
It's a conspiracy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Next thing you know, they're going to be invading Texas.
How is mispronouncing the name of a city related to invading Texas?
Ever been to Houston?
Houston Street in New York, yes.
Houston, Texas.
No, it's Houston, Texas.
No, it's Houston. That's, yeah. I'm telling you, whole conspiracy on okay, city
at this point, you cannot claim a geographic distance or some ignorance of it. You said you were from Alabama. That's in the South. There is no way you haven't met at least one person who knows a little bit about Texas and knows that it's pronounced Houston.
They're all being fed lies from Hollywood. They're all the gullible little worms. We're above that.
I blame President Nixon.
I blame Nixon.
We need to nix that president.
He needed a casserole or two.
He is nixed. I don't know how he did on casseroles, but he is both no longer president and no longer living.
Oh, well, good riddance to him.
Should have buried him in a casserole.
Oh, that'd be good.
Well, he was
little
buried.
Tater tots on top.
Little tater tots.
He was buried in a casket. Similar to a casserole.
How is it similar?
With the beginning of the word, they both start with Cass.
So does castrate. That's not very similar now, is it?
We're going to move on now. We play another game. Are you all ready for this?
You didn't say there's... I'm getting hungry, honey. I need a smoke.
This game is very quick.
Okay.
All right, just tell us.
You remember the stories I had you write about our producer, Dustin Jones?
Yes.
I do recall.
No.
What?
Yes. I don't remember nothing now.
She can't remember. She's hungry. She can't remember anything when she's hungry.
Listening audience, I asked both Carmen and Barry with an E to write something about Dustin Jones, our producer, some kind of interpretation. Whatever it may be, God knows what it may be this week. They both have them here, and they're both going to read them for you. And we're just going to have to listen to them.
Yep, ready.
Yep, ready.
So which of you will be starting? Which of you will be reading first?
I think we're going to let Carmen go first this time because she's feeling a little left out.
Yeah.
All right, Carmen. Let's hear what you got.
Well, Dustin, I wrote you one of them acrostics.
Acrostic.
Are you just rude or something? You just straight up born rude?
Why did
you
invite
that way?
Us here? I wrote you an acrostic, Dustin. D is for darling. U is for use. S is for some. T is for tonic. I is for N, and N is for nim beard hairs. So if we read it all together, darling, use some tonic and nim beard hairs. It's looking a little bit shaggy.
Carmen!
Honey.
That is not very nice to say to people.
I mean, he is so nice. I just want him to date a nice girl or boy. I don't judge these days. We got some of them. Some of them queer pinos up in Duluth.
I wish he would date somebody nice.
I know.
He actually does date a guest that was on last week.
Oh, you don't say?
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, if you listen to the show, you would know that.
I don't know how to use a computer.
You can listen to it on your smartphone. You can have someone...
Hold on. A what phone? A what?
Huh?
Let's just move on to Barry's story. Barry, did you write a story? I'm sorry to be presumptuous. I certainly shouldn't assume anything with you two. What did you write about Dustin, Barry?
I wrote a recipe.
You wrote a recipe?
I did.
For what?
For casserole.
Dustin, I apologize. But we're now going to listen to Barry's recipe for casserole, colon Dustin, I suppose.
That's about right. And listeners, go ahead and write this down if you feel so inclined to make this at home. Dustin, if you were a casserole, this would be the recipe. 3 cups of mashed taters. 7 cloves of garlic. 8 bags of cheddar cheese. 1 cup of flour. 2 steaks. 6 tablespoons of Smiles. 2 teaspoons of vanilla. 4 cups of Love. 1 handful of chocolate chips. And 1 tablespoon of Beard shavings. Bake that at 350 for maybe 40 minutes and you'll have yourself a nice Dustin casserole.
That sounds divine.
Doesn't it, though?
Oh, my God.
I just came up with that off the top of my head, if you can't believe that.
We have to submit that to the state fair.
We really ought to do that.
We might win.
What if we deep fried this whole casserole?
Oh, shoot.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but, as a surprise, we actually baked a Dustin. We baked you a Dustin casserole.
Me?
Both of you.
You baked us a casserole.
Yes, we got 3 cups of mashed potatoes, 8 bags of cheddar, all of them.
All 8 bags?
All of the fixins, if you will.
All the fixins? God. Are we going to try it right now?
Yes, I am
rumbling and tumbling.
I'm so hungry.
Here, I'll bring it in real fast.
Thanks. Thank you, Dustin.
Oh, my God. He does look baked.
He does look very baked.
Okay, so Dustin will be in here. We're going to try the Dustin casserole. Listening audience, feel free to try it at home. Feel free also not to do that. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Carmen and Barry, thank you for being on the show.
You are so welcome.
It has been our sincerest pleasure.
I'm glad it was someone's.
Wow. Again with the rude.
If you would like to hear your story read, send us a copy online at lexoutloud@gmail.com. Special thanks to Convenient Parking for use of their story in this week's show. Special thanks to our special guests, Carmen and Barry. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones, who also produces our show. This has been a production by Lex Out Loud, a.k.a. LOL, Kentucky's freshest improv team. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.